KBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, writing at Gatestone Newsweek and The Hill. The report of the balloon. NORAD personnel detected China's surveillance balloon before it reached the coast of Alaska, but, quote, could not take action to shoot it down. This according to a military briefing in these last days. NORAD Chief General Glenn Van Herk spoke to reporters in a press call and faced questions as to why the U.S. did not shoot down China's surveillance aircraft as it crossed Alaska's Aleutian Islands. Van Herk confirmed that NORAD had detected the craft, but said he could not take immediate action because the balloon did not pose a direct threat. We welcome our colleague, Jim Fennell, government fellow at the Geneva Center for Security Policy. He's a retired U.S. Navy captain, just served as Director of Intelligence and Information Operations of the U.S. Pacific Fleet. In other words, the guys at the sharp end of the stick, especially now. Jim, a very good day to you. I need some definitions for people who are not up to date on Cold Warrior language. What is NORAD, and what does it mean, could not take action? That probably refers to the ability to engage the enemy. First, NORAD, and then rules of engagement. Thank you, Jim.
Yes, good day, John and Gordon. Thanks for the invitation. NORAD is the North American Aerospace Defense Command. It was stood up during the Cold War, if you will, and it's a combined command of the U.S. and Canada that is to protect our two nations from intrusions into our airspace from foreign adversaries or anybody. And so around the periphery of the United States and Canada, but for United States, especially up in Alaska, we have what's called an air defense identification zone. And there are rules of engagement for how you engage objects, platforms, bombers, fighters, ISR platforms, balloons like this, and how you approach them. I don't have the specific ROE that this commander, current NORAD commander, is using, but the idea is that the NORAD is there to monitor and make sure that they know what's coming into our airspace. Now, territorial airspace is 12 miles off of our coast, so the balloon maybe initially hadn't crossed into our territorial airspace, and maybe that's the reason they didn't shoot it down. But once it came across the 12 nautical mile limit and crossed into our airspace, it could be over water and then crosses over land, because we believe that the balloon crossed over terra firma in Alaska. That is our airspace. Then in that condition, an unidentified object should have been shot down or addressed and maneuvered away or something to get it out of the area. And that did not occur.
Did you have experience with anything similar to this in your time on watch?
Not anything in U.S. airspace in my experience. We had a couple of unidentified events out in the Western Pacific, but nothing like this. No balloon programs that we were monitoring. No balloon programs that were being sent towards the United States. And I retired at the end of 2014.
I remind everyone that the news reporting now, and it keeps changing, so we're doing the best we can, is that the American intelligence community is now telling the media that the People's Liberation Army has a program to use balloons, probably this balloon, in a surveillance of other states. That's a PLA program, nothing meteorological about it. Gordon, you have a question for Jim.
Jim, it seems that General Van Herk, when he talked about his rules of engagement, indicated that it was the failure of those who write the rules to understand the nature of today's threats. What do you think?
I don't know the general, and to be fair to him, I will just say that it doesn't make sense to me. When you have an object like that you're tracking, and they were in an exercise, NORAD was in an exercise called Operation Noble Defender when this balloon entered in. They were in the last 4 days of a two-week exercise whose whole purpose was to defend American airspace from foreign objects coming in. That's the whole exercise. And they're in the exercise, and a real object comes in, and they don't take action against it. It's hard to comprehend. And so what I anticipate is what he's saying there between the lines is that maybe he up the chain, they asked the question about shooting this down in Alaska, and they were told, no, you cannot do it. That's what it sounds like to me.
Let us go to then your understanding of the what needs to be done, because this it vaguely resembles what happened during the Cold War. You all recall the story of the false attack that was picked up in the period of high tension in the Reagan administration, 1983, when a Russian officer chose not to respond to what was a false signal in his command of an incoming missile, of an incoming foreign object. He chose not to respond. He didn't go to nuclear war. However, right now, this story tells us that we chose not to respond for, we didn't think it was a nuclear weapon, but we didn't know what it was and we didn't respond. So your recommendation, Captain, you're a veteran of these things. I imagine right now they're working up recommendations to what happens the next time. There's no reason to believe that China won't do it again.
Correct, John. This is something that we have to prepare for now. And these are slow-moving, high altitude. They don't have the same signatures as a bomber or a fighter or some unmanned weapon system, a ballistic missile, for instance. So we're going to have to refocus our radar systems and our collection systems to ensure that we're seeing these things well before they leave mainland China. And because once they get over your territory, you're kind of behind the power curve, especially since this payload was several hundred pounds. We don't know what was in there, and we likely think it was a intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance collection systems, but it could have been something much more nefarious, an EMP bomb or something even in the biochemical arena. So we can't wait for that to come over the territories to be able to take action. So we need to see it before it leaves China. So that means we're going to have better stare against mainland China's having these balloons leave Chinese territory.
Jim, is it possible that China, that the PLA knew that our response would be vague and inexact because of what you just outlined, that a balloon wouldn't threaten us to shoot, and therefore that they believed their program was going to be successful and probably has been for some time?
Right. If you, based on the press reports that there's at least 10 other events over the last several years, and those were not publicized. Even this crash of a balloon off of Kauai Pacific Missile Test Range for our rocket systems that we do out in the Pacific, the balloon crashed last year, and we didn't do anything. It wasn't in the press. So I think that it's a sound assessment is that China believes that they will be able to just continue to do this without any reaction from this administration.
So they found a hole in the fence, Jim. I'm being metaphorical, but that's what we can conclude right now. They believed we would be inexact.
Right. They saw a vulnerability in our system, and they're exploiting it.
Gordon, you have a question for Jim.
Jim, John was referring to the incident on September 26, 1983, when a Colonel Petrov decided not to launch against the United States because his sensors actually told him that three Minuteman missiles from Montana had been fired at him. And Petrov understood that there were failures in the Soviet early warning system, so that it probably was a mistake. Petrov basically felt, well, if the U.S. was going to launch at us, it would be more than three missiles. Do we have similar vulnerabilities in our early warning systems? You talked a little bit about how we identify balloons, but our radar systems, have they been kept up to date, and can they detect what's coming over at us?
Well, these are questions that are, you know, somewhat classified, so I can't go into details. But from what we saw from this balloon, and what General von Herk said, he said they detected it. So I think we can detect these things. It's a matter of classification. So I detect something in the sky. What is it? And if I don't know what it is, how do I classify it? How do I get another additional intelligence sensor on that platform to identify what it is? And then once I identify it as friend or foe, then I take the appropriate rules of engagement response. So there's multiple layers here. And I think in a technical sense, these things, some of them we can detect. Now, recall in July of 2021, the Chinese launched that fractional orbital bombardment system, which is a hypersonic weapon that traveled around the world for the first time in history And we didn't really know. We knew about it when it happened, but it took us off guard as well. So we're having these Sputnik moments, if you will. I think back, you're mentioning this event from 1983. I also remember an event from the Soviets with a young man who flew from Germany in a small Cessna that got and landed in Red Square in Moscow. So these events can happen and can shock nations. The question is, what will we do about it? And are we prepared to say that we're going to have an iron wall, if you will, in terms of not allowing these things to come in and not be responded to? Because if we don't take that action, then China says, oh, well, then we can continue to try in another way. Maybe it was a balloon this year. Maybe it's something else next year, some other new system, like a hypersonic platform.
It's early days. There's much to learn about the balloon program by the People's Liberation Army. None of it happy. Jim Fennell, government fellow at the Geneva Center for Security Policy, retired U.S. Navy captain, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and America's largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal law enforcement agencies through our many varied programs, including free safety equipment donations, free officer survival training, cash donations, and condolence letters to the family of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty. USDSA also offers college scholarships for the dependent children of law enforcement, along with the Citizen Awareness Program and thank you cards to law enforcement. These are just some of the ways United States Deputy Sheriff's Association assists America's law enforcement and the citizens they serve. For more information about United States Deputy Sheriff's Association or to see how you can help, visit www.usdeputy.org. United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, taking training to the next level, because lives are on the line.